This is BeyondTheKill.fm with your host, Adam Yonke, editor-in-chief of the Journal of Mountain Hunting. We were all born to hunt.
We are back. This is episode number 2 of the Beyond the Kill podcast. My name is Adam Yonke. I am the host of BeyondTheKill.fm. And before we dive into today's show, I want to take a moment to very emphatically say thank you. Thank you to everyone that took the time to listen to episode 1 with Donnie Vincent that we released just 2 weeks ago. Thank you to everyone that took the time to write a review in iTunes or even email me directly to say how much they enjoyed the show. It meant a ton. The response was absolutely phenomenal, blew all of my expectations out of the water, and that's all because of you. So again, thank you. Now, for today's show, we have Heather Kelly of Heather's Choice Adventure Meals. Heather is a very, very interesting individual, brings a ton of knowledge and experience in sports nutrition and performance, and specifically to the hunting community, backcountry nutrition and performance. So this is must listen stuff. If you have any questions about the type of nutrients you really should be taking into the backcountry, any questions about how to maybe make some modifications in your diet to burn fuel more efficiently in the backcountry, then I promise you, you're going to learn something that you can apply both in day-to-day life and, of course, for our audience, in the wilderness, in the wild, in the backcountry, where it really matters. So without further ado, I bring you episode number 2 and Heather Kelly of Heather's Choice Adventure Meals. Well, thanks for coming on to the show. We've got a lot of stuff to cover, and I know you have some exciting news that you are literally in the midst of right now that I definitely want us to spend some time on. But first and foremost, I want to give our listeners a chance to get to know, well, A, Heather Kelly first. And I don't mean since birth. I mean, why Heather is, for lack of a better way to put it, a backcountry nutrition expert. And I guess I shouldn't say that either. You are more than a backcountry nutrition expert. And in fact, you come from a more broad-based nutritional background than just backcountry nutrition. But give us a bit of background on who you were before you founded Heather's Choice. And then I want you to get into Heather's Choice, the company as well.
Sure. Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Adam. So my name is Heather Kelly, and I'm coming to you from Alaska, and this is home sweet home where I was born and raised, and being from Alaska has definitely been a very big part of developing who I am as an adventurer and who I am as an athlete. So before Heather's Choice, which is my line of dehydrated backpacking food, I was a collegiate rower for Western Washington University in Bellingham. And that's really where I got geeked on sports nutrition and eating for performance. So any of you who know a thing about crew, you know that it's a very demanding sport. It's actually probably the second most VO2 intensive sport out there, second to cross-country skiing.
There's no probably, it is second. That is a valid scientific fact.
Right. I do know my shit. So it's an incredible sport, but it requires you to be not only very strong, but also very fit cardio-wise. You have to have a ton of endurance. And so you can imagine that as a highly competitive college athlete, I wanted to know what I needed to be eating in order to perform my best. So it really was my entire 4-year collegiate rowing experience was playing around with food, figuring out what I needed to eat, what should my macros be, what supplements should I be taking. And out of that, I ended up discovering the paleo diet for athletes. And I have to say that was the one nutrition protocol that really made a ton of sense to me because it's completely based in evolution. And so it's basically saying that we as humans evolved to have a nutrition plan that incorporated lots of high quality protein, lots of fresh produce, so fruits and vegetables, roots and tubers, lots of high quality fats, and then a whole host of other lifestyle factors. But having a nutrition plan completely based around evolution made sense to me as a college athlete, and I ran with it and actually graduated with a degree in evolutionary sports nutrition. I also graduated as a two-time NCAA national champion, so I helped my team win their fifth and sixth consecutive national championships for women's rowing, and was also voted All-American my senior year. So that kind of gives you an idea of my athletic background and my really intense emphasis on sports nutrition as being a make or break for us as athletes. And since then, I've competed in CrossFit for a handful of years and been a CrossFit athlete since 2010, and continue to follow a fairly clean yet lenient paleo diet to this day, and have had the pleasure of working with hundreds of other athletes around the globe to develop these really healthy whole foods nutrition plans.
And Heather, that's through your nutritional consulting business, which predates Heather's Choice, correct?
Yeah. After college, I knew I wanted to work with athletes and wanted to help them learn a bit more about eating for performance. And so I started my first business, Open Nutrition, which is a sports nutrition and eating psychology coaching business. And I still do that to this day on the side. Usually have the pleasure of working with athletes over the phone, helping them to figure out what they should eat, when they should eat, why they should eat it, how they should eat. And it's a very fun consulting business that I run.
Excellent. Excellent. And I guess what I would add in there is that provides some really good experience. Well, obviously educational, but also some really solid experiential context to why you were in a position to start a company like Heather's Choice. And the important point there is a lot of people can go and read a textbook, or, you know, nowadays obviously read plenty of information online, and not necessarily all of it valid. But at the end of the day, if we've learned anything in science in the past few years, is that whether we're talking about physiology or nutrition or anything as it relates to the body, there's highly individualized variation. And I think that experience you have in consulting and working with athletes, it must have had heavy influence on how you went about your menu for Heather's Choice.
Yeah, so I would say that for the amount of people on the planet, there's equally as many nutrition plans. So that's definitely something to take into consideration, is that there is no perfect diet for any one individual. And just like you mentioned, Adam, there are a lot of differences between people as far as what their body can tolerate. And I noticed that a lot in working with athletes specifically, where some people do really well on a very high carbohydrate nutrition plan, and they seem to be just really efficient carbohydrate burners. And in sharp contrast to that, we see a lot of people that are really good at mobilizing fat for fuel. And there's definitely an advantage to that. And that's a lot of the science that goes into developing the Heather's Choice meals, is around developing these nutrition plans or these meals that really cater to people that have a very flexible metabolism, that can tolerate high fat, high carbohydrate, but then also are going to need a lot of protein no matter who you are. And so there's a lot of individual differences, but there's also a lot of, I would say, similarities from person to person, such as we all need high quality protein. We all need lots of antioxidants, things of that nature.
Right. And something I definitely want us to circle back on, I don't want to get too much in or too far into the weeds just yet, but I do want to circle back on the differences between a percent recommended daily value and backcountry needs, right? And I think what you mentioned there about protein is an important point that I think people need to keep in mind, right? When they're selecting their backcountry nutrition, whether that's some form of, you know, bar supplement or something like that, or of course the most important ones being their packaged meals or the meals they take into the backcountry.
Yeah.
But we'll come back to that. So this segues nicely into Heather's Choice, the company. Let's get a bit of history about Heather's Choice, the menu, and tell our listeners, you know, all about it.
So being a collegiate athlete and having this really healthy nutrition plan and being a bit of a food geek, you can imagine that when I was heading out on my own backcountry trips, I wanted to continue to eat healthy. And I consider myself to be a fairly nutritionally sensitive person, where I can't handle a lot of sugar, can't handle a lot of wheat, can't handle a lot of dairy. So when I was heading out on backcountry trips here in Alaska, specifically pack rafting, I was really frustrated that I couldn't pack all of my healthy whole foods for these backcountry trips. And I knew that I wanted to, once again, be eating for performance, even when I was hiking, you know, 30 miles with a 50-pound pack on. So it was really my own backcountry trips here in Alaska that inspired me to get a food dehydrator and start dehydrating some of the recipes that I was making at home. So the original Heather's Choice recipe was actually a mousse spaghetti, but it's a marinara sauce that my mom would make, and I would pair it with spaghetti squash instead of wheat noodles or anything like that. And so I would be able to take these really healthy, delicious, dehydrated meals on my trips and end up eating, you know, just as well in the backcountry as I was at home. So I started playing around with dehydrating food about 5 years ago, and this was actually for a 25-day rafting trip through the Grand Canyon, and it's been 5 years of me playing with my food dehydrator at home, developing these really awesome recipes, whether it's dinners or breakfasts or snacks. And it wasn't until summer of 2014 that I started actually giving out samples of my dehydrated meals to friends and family here. And the feedback was really awesome. And I actually had a good friend who really pushed me to start selling this stuff. And so it was August of 2014 that I started heatherschoice.com and was selling some of my original recipes, like Heather's Choice Paschetti and dark chocolate chili and our coconut packaroons. And it went nuts on me right away. There was tons of orders flowing in through the website. People from all over the country were super excited to see a healthy, delicious, sustainably sourced food option that was lightweight and shelf stable. And so I've basically spent the last year and a half keeping up with demand, which has been a really great problem to have.
Absolutely. So one of the things I think that bears clarification is the difference between, before we get into the menu, that is, the difference between freeze-dried and dehydrated. Because I think most of the people that are listening to this, you know, if they obviously haven't ordered from you yet, the bulk of their experience will come from predominantly freeze-dried backpacking meals as opposed to a dehydrated option like Heather's Choices.
Yeah, great question. So if you were a listener and you were going on a hunting, a backpacking, a camping, a sailing trip, something where you're going to have to go into the backcountry and not have refrigeration, your food options are pretty well limited to freeze-dried food. And the most popular one that people are familiar with is Mountain House, which has been the industry leader for, what, like 40 or 50 years. And there's a handful of other companies that also sell very similar meals, which are freeze-dried meals that you can take on any backcountry trip. So Heather's Choice is different because we actually dehydrate our products rather than freeze-dry. And one of the big reasons for that is because dehydrated food is actually smaller. So you'll notice that freeze-dried food is a little bit larger and the packaging is a little bit larger, takes up more space in your pack. Where dehydrated food, it may be a little bit heavier because we're not able to extract quite as much water as freeze-drying, but it's also going to be a little bit smaller and take up less space in your pack. And the other reason I really like dehydrated food is because it tastes just like what you made at home. And like I said, all of these recipes that we use for Heather's Choice are literally versions of what I would make at home in a crock pot or a stock pot that I would then just spread onto my dehydrator trays, dehydrate for 12 to 24 hours, and then put that in a Ziploc bag and take it on a trip with me. And so I really like how dehydrated food is different, not only in size, but also in flavor. And that's definitely some of the positive feedback I've received. The flavors are very complex and it actually tastes, again, like a home-cooked meal because it is. And the other thing that I really like about dehydrated food is that it's a fairly low energy intensive process. And dehydrating has been around for, you know, ever. Basically, if you've ever made sun-dried tomatoes, you can put freshly cut tomatoes out on a screen outside in the sun and boom, you have a dehydrated food at the end of the day. So it's a very low energy intensive process and a really great way to preserve food. And that's what I hope to do with Heather's Choices, encourage other people to learn how to dehydrate some of their own meals as well, because it's a very fun pastime, but also a really great way to create some self-sufficiency.
Right. No, that makes a ton of sense. And I wanted to mention the taste and size difference now, since we're on that topic, is, I mean... there's no contest between your meals and everything else out there that's freeze-dried. And the various meals you have available in your, as you call it, adventure menu are just stellar. So I do want us to cover that. But I challenge anyone listening to this to order even just a couple of meals from you, and we'll get into a way that they can do that sooner than later and help you. But I challenge anyone to order something from your, you know, one of the meals from your adventure menu and compare that against any of their favorite Mountain House meals or whatever brand they prefer. But a lot of people listening to this, I'm pretty sure, will favor Mountain House. And there literally is no contest. It's like we're talking about, it's not even apples and oranges. It's like apples and broccoli, the difference. So, I mean, that's number one. Point number two is the size, right? So the weight, frankly, I and my friend Matt on our sheep hunt just this past September ran your meals the entire week with some supplemental stuff. But for our main meals, it was all Heather's Choice. I didn't notice a massive weight difference, but I certainly noticed a volume difference that was taken up in my pack. I keep all of my meals in one self-contained dry bag so I can take it in and out very easily, access what I want to access easily. And it literally took up like, I don't know, there's no more than 2/3, and I would say probably less than that, but 2/3 of the volume of the same amount of food, a week's worth of food, did the previous year when I was running a Mountain House based sort of meal plan for the week. So if for no other reason, the size that is saved in your pack, and when we're talking about week to 10 day hunts where, you know, what you have on your back is what you're going to eat, that's a big difference. That's a huge difference.
Yeah, I appreciate you pointing that out, because that's one thing that I think our consumers really need to be aware of, is that when you go to REI, let's say, and you stock up on Mountain House, what you might see is that it's a 8.5 by 11 inch bag. It's a fairly large package, and it will advertise that it's 2 servings. But as a nutrition geek, I will flip it over and look at the back and see, oh, they are advertising this as 2 servings or feeding 2 people, but it has 2 300-calorie servings, which to me, 300 calories is not a meal. And I'm not a huge girl. I'm 5'9 and 160 pounds, but I have an appetite, so I can eat much more than 300 calories in a dinner meal, especially when I'm in the backcountry. So what people will notice that sets Heather's Choice apart is that our dinners feed 1 hungry person, and we do have close to 600 calories per bag. And so that's one thing that really sets us apart, and I want people to understand as a consumer, is if you're going into the backcountry, you likely want more than 300 or 350 calories at your meals. So don't be fooled by some of the, I wouldn't want to say advertising, but some of the claims out there that, you know, this $7 meal you're buying is going to feed 2 people, when in all actuality, you probably want to be putting down 600, 700, 800 calories.
Oh, easily.
During a dinner meal, especially if you're out mountain hunting.
Absolutely. Yeah, no. And that's, I don't know anyone that would be, certainly no one in my circle. And I don't think anyone listening to this would think that one Mountain House would get split between 2 people as a full functional meal, right? In an emergency situation, or maybe as a light lunch with some, you know, some sort of energy bar as a supplement, or some sort of snack option as a supplement. Sure, that's possible. But yeah, there's no way that one Mountain House can go for 2 full-grown, you know, men or women charging hard in the backcountry, whatever they're doing. There's just no way.
Yeah, absolutely. And so my personal goal with Heather's Choice is to give people about 600 calories for every 4-ounce meal. So if we can hit the mark and get about 150 calories per ounce, then we're doing something right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would say you certainly are. So let's dive into the menu, Heather, because you have some just incredibly delicious options on your, as I referred to it earlier, your adventure menu, that are a breath of fresh air from the, well, faux mac and cheese and turkey tetrazzini and other junk that we're used to with the other freeze-dried options.
Yeah, absolutely. So as I mentioned before, all of the Heather's Choice meals are meals that I would make at home for myself. So they're very protein centric. There's lots of produce. There's always good quality fats. And my commitment with Heather's Choice is to always use sustainably sourced proteins. So what you'll see on our menu is we have a smoked sockeye salmon chowder, and that's made all with wild Alaskan sockeye salmon. We have a dark chocolate chili that's made with 100% grass-fed bison. We have an elk shepherd's pie that's made from 100% grass-fed elk. We also have a chipotle cherry chili that we use humanely harvested quail in. And then finally, we have a tomatillo rancheros that has humanely harvested venison. So it's pretty cool that we get to incorporate these really healthy, delicious, sustainably sourced proteins. And that is definitely something that sets us apart from the great grand majority of food businesses out there, is that we are making a point to not only use high quality animal proteins and a substantial amount of it per meal, but we're also seeking out these animal proteins that are not only healthier for you, the consumer, but also for the planet. So we're talking to our bison ranchers about rotational grazing and how raising bison on these arid open pastures is actually restorative to the land itself. So it's a very fun project for me to be learning more, not only about the nutrition of what we're eating, but also how that's impacting the earth that our food is being raised on.
Yeah, and that's, and I think a really key point there is, I know within the hunting community that'll listen to this, the idea of conservation and sustainability behind the protein sources that we eat should resonate, right? I mean, and I don't mean should as in, you know, wagging my finger and saying those people should. It's what a lot of most hunters, I would even say, are very passionate about is, you know, we often say that hunting for your own meat, it's the most organic free-range meat you're ever going to find, right? Now, unfortunately, on a commercial level, you can't sell wild game. So when we're looking for the meals we want to take on a backcountry adventure or something that doesn't come from game we've killed and from our own freezers, when it comes to that time to purchase, especially within the context of backpacking meals, literally putting your money where your mouth is as far as buying meals that are in line with those values is really important, right? A lot of hunters and a lot of fishermen, a lot of outdoors people will be members of certain organizations that work hard to keep wild places wild and really keep our planet as healthy and open to adventure as we would want to keep it. But our purchase decisions when it comes to stuff like this should reflect that as well, which is just an added bonus with your meals. I mean, I was sold on pure quality of nutrients and flavor, but that's just yet another reason why people should strongly consider your meals, Heather. There's no question about that.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that because it's really fun for me to recognize that I'm not just out here to make a buck and I'm not just doing this in order to get rich, because if I was, I sure as shit wouldn't pay $9 a pound for grass-fed bison. But knowing that Heather's Choice is really my opportunity to not only share healthy nutrition with people and healthy recipes and delicious food, but it's also my way to kind of give back to the planet and to put my dollar where my mouth is and to say, yeah, I am willing to spend, you know, upwards of $10 a pound in order to source these really healthy proteins that I think people should be eating more of.
Absolutely. No, that makes a ton of sense. Makes a ton of sense. I think it's, well, maybe I won't assume, but for me, there's no question that supporting a company like yours that's trying to kind of do right by the body, number one, obviously, and then by the planet as well, as it's a win-win-win, right, across the board. It's just a no-brainer. One of the things I wanted to get into as well, Heather, and this is a question that's come up with some of the readers of the Journal of Mountain Hunting, is let's use an example here. Let's say a person is coming from a position of a more, we'll just call it a conventional diet, not paleo or keto or anything like that. You know, it's the good healthy diet, but maybe a little bit more carbohydrate heavy than protein and fat heavy. And then of course, from a backpacking standpoint, if they've never come across a Heather's Choice before, they certainly will have more exposure to a carb heavier load. Can you talk about some of the tips and tricks to transition into not just your meals, but a diet or a meal, let's call it program, that is more protein and fat heavy? Because a few people have emailed me and said, you know, they really love the meals, but they found that sometimes they had a harder time transitioning or adjusting to that higher protein and fat content.
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's basically what I'm doing all the time when I'm working with clients, is helping them make this transition.
Right.
Because what I find is that a lot of people struggle with appetite regulation. And a lot of times that can be related to a deficiency in protein or a deficiency in high quality fats. And especially in the backcountry, it's really easy to get carbohydrates. You know, if you buy anything out there, it's primarily going to be sugars or fruits or grains or beans or dairy. It's going to be very carbohydrate intensive. And so I like to have people, even before they head out into the backcountry, really looking at their nutrition plan and saying, okay, am I getting enough protein every day to support my lean muscle mass? Am I getting a good enough quality fat to support hormone production, healthy hair, healthy skin, to have a good attitude, you know, all of those things. And then finally, am I getting enough carbohydrates to support my level of activity? So somebody might, you know, sit at a desk a lot of the time. They don't need a lot of carbohydrates for that activity level. But then once they're going out into the backcountry, if they're operating at a really high intensity, there's no getting around it. You're going to need more carbohydrates. And that's, like I said earlier, some of the tenets of human metabolism or some of the absolutes are that, you know, when we're operating above 70% of our max heart rate, we're burning sugar, period. Like, you're just not breaking down fat fast enough to really fuel that. Where in contrast, if you're going and just lumbering through the woods and you're operating at a slow pace, it's preferential for you to be operating off of fat for fuel, because you have more fat storage on your body than you do carbohydrate storage. And that's true even for the guys cruising around at 5% body fat. They probably have a week's worth of calories on board. They just need to teach their body to be able to access that. So going back to your question, I would say that anybody who's looking to transition to more of a whole foods, fat-fueled metabolism, it's great for you to start before you head out into the backcountry and start to focus your meals on protein and fat and making carbohydrates more of a elective macronutrient, where you're adding it in or subtracting it depending on your energy needs. Does that make sense?
Makes a ton of sense. And I think it bears mentioning that when you say fats and carbohydrates, I would hope by now that people can assume we're talking about good fats and good carbohydrates. But I think we should drill down on that a little bit as well, Heather, because all fats are not created equal. All carbohydrates are not created equal. Like, I'm literally looking at one of the nutrition labels from one of your meals and a Mountain House label for a turkey tetrazzini, which out of all the Mountain House meals, it was certainly my favorite. So this is one, and I've heard that from a fair number of people. So this is a really good comparison. And I think this is your dark chocolate chili label. Yeah, it's your dark chocolate chili label. So looking at the total carbohydrates, we have 57 grams of carbohydrates in one Heather's Choice serving, and there's 11 grams of dietary fiber in that and 0 grams of sugar. In the turkey tetrazzini to my left, we have 56 grams of carbohydrates, so let's call it a pass-through, 1 gram of fiber, or excuse me, 2 grams of fiber, I have to do the math here because of their half pouch stuff, and 12 grams of sugar. So the ratios are literally flipped on sugar versus dietary fiber in there.
Yeah, so that's a great, great comparison. And what you're going to see for a lot of freeze-dried meals is that they are going to be probably very grain and sugar heavy. And that's because they're very quick and easy to digest carbohydrates. And that's why you see for a lot of people, as I mentioned before, they can eat a 600 calorie meal and maybe 2 hours later have that sense of, holy shit, I'm hungry. And that's kind of the phenomenon that people notice when they go into the backcountry and they bring instant oatmeal for breakfast. You eat that and not 1 or even 2 hours later, you're digging into your snack bag because those carbohydrates were burned up so quickly.
Yeah, no, like I've literally looked at bark and considered eating it no more than an hour after eating like a 2-packet, like Quaker Quick Oats or something like that. That was before I found your buckwheat breakfast. And again, there is no comparison in terms of how, I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, but just it's a bears a very strong point here that the buckwheat breakfast, and because of these micro and macronutrient differences we're talking about here, is so different from a typical Quick Oats oatmeal package.
Yeah, and that's where obviously calories are a big part of this for anybody who's planning a trip. If you're going to go hiking around in the mountains, you may be packing 5,000 calories with you. But if you're able to have a great balance of high quality fats, high quality carbohydrates, and high quality protein, those 5,000 calories are going to stick with you longer and you're going to be able to motor for longer than you would if you brought 5,000 calories worth of quick digesting carbohydrates and sugar. So that's where all of the Heather's Choice meals are made to not only be macronutrient balanced, but you're also getting higher quality of all of those ingredients that's literally going to stick to your ribs for longer and allow you to motor for longer. And so that's my intention with all of the meals and all the snacks we make, is to kind of fill in the nutritional gaps that I've seen in a typical backcountry menu.
Absolutely. And I think to make that point as clear as possible, like, not all calories are created equal. So when you look at, you know, one package versus another package and you compare the calories, you need to look down and look at you know, the fat, the carbohydrates, the nature of those carbohydrates, the protein content, that sort of thing, because it really does make a big difference. 5,000 calories of quick burning macronutrients does not have the same effect as 5,000 calories of a more balanced nutrient profile that, as you said, sticks to your ribs. And I think I've told you this before, but I'll mention it here now. On this sheep hunt in September, as I said, my friend Matt and I were using virtually exclusively your meals. And it was such a difference as far as, in particular, the buckwheat breakfast. Like the main meals, the lunch and dinner menu meals are absolutely incredible and delicious. But the big revelation for me were those buckwheat breakfasts, because I'm so used to burning through my whatever my breakfast is so quickly. And it would literally, I could literally make it almost to lunch without getting hungry, which is a rare, I mean, that's a rare thing just walking around day to day, let alone covering serious elevation, serious ground in the mountains in very cold temps where our bodies are burning even more fuel, right? We were at minus 15 to minus 20 C at night. And we had on the pack in and out of the mountains, we had, you know, close to 80 pounds each on our back. So to see those breakfasts perform at that level was literally, as I said, it was a revelation. And that boils down, I guess that's a really bad pun, but it boils down to that nutrient profile, right?
Yeah. And that's honestly a full-time job for me, is convincing people to eat more fat. And I see that all the time, that people have this notion that fat's going to make you fat, or it's going to cause heart disease, or whatever the problem is. And literally, that couldn't be further from the truth. And it's actually carbohydrates that can drive atherosclerosis. That's my least favorite word, but that's what people need to really understand. And that's a whole nother podcast talking about nutrition science.
No question.
But the takeaway that I want your readers to understand is that fat is going to be your best friend in the backcountry. And that's why our buckwheat breakfast has like 25 grams of fat from coconut and seeds and all kinds of nuts and things like that, because I want people to be getting more fat that's going to give them more energy to motor for longer. So that would be, you know, kind of my takeaway for anybody who's listening, is if you're planning your backcountry menu, make sure you have plenty of good quality fats to help you get on down the trail.
Yeah, no, and that's, so circling back to the beginning of this mini rant of ours here, what are some really easy, you know, tips or tricks for people to start to work on that prior to their backcountry hunt? And we've written about this a bit in the journal, and we absolutely will both write and feature more content in this regard on the podcast going forward. But it is a very, very in-depth topic. But we've mentioned how, you know, kind of keying the body in on using fat as a more preferred fuel source, especially for backcountry pursuits, is almost integral, right? I mean, you can get by, but you're going to have to carry a lot of extra calories that you're just going to have to continue to replenish if you don't convert your body to, or you can't convert your body to more of a fat-based profile or energy profile. So what are some things people can do, not just in the backcountry, but day-to-day, Heather, to help key up those systems and therefore prep them for using meals like yours in the backcountry and really just performing at a higher level in the backcountry?
Sure. So first thing is getting up in the morning and having, I would say, a balanced but definitely protein and fat-rich breakfast. Not only is that going to make it to where you're priming your metabolism to stay in a fat-burning mode, because if you think about it, all night long you're sleeping, and ideally you're not burning sugar during that time. Your fat stores are what should be keeping you alive while you're sleeping at night. So if you get up in the morning and you have a breakfast centered around, let's say, eggs and pasture-raised bacon and grass-fed butter, and maybe throw a piece of fruit or some fresh produce on the side, it's not going to be so much carbohydrates from the fruit or the vegetables that you're eating to really cause a spike in your insulin levels. And so you end up staying in more of a fat burning mode by having a lower carbohydrate breakfast. So that's one thing that people can do, is definitely start to incorporate more good fats and more good proteins and less carbohydrates into their breakfast meal. So what I consider to be the simplest nutrition plan in the world is to always sit down to your meals and to your snacks and make sure you have three things. The first one being a whole foods source of protein, which I consider to be animal proteins. So that's going to be your beef, your chicken, your bison, your moose, eggs, whatever. You also want to make sure you have some fresh produce, so fruits and vegetables. And then finally, you want a good source of fat, which this may surprise you guys, but what I consider to be good, healthy fat sources are going to be grass-fed butter, maybe pasture-raised dairy. So again, dairy coming from grass-fed animals, avocados, nuts and seeds, coconut, lard, tallow, duck fat, more of these
bear fat.
Saturated fats. Exactly. And by having more of these saturated animal fats, you're priming your body to get much more efficient at burning its own fat for fuel, because your body really doesn't know the difference between bear fat and your own fat. So that's a good way to think about it, is that if you're incorporating more of these saturated animal fats into your own nutrition plan, you actually are developing the enzymes and the metabolic pathways for your body to metabolize its own fat for fuel more efficiently, which again is going to be a huge performance and survival advantage for you when you're in the backcountry.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I can speak from personal experience on that briefly, is that I've been playing around with, you know, varying ratios in this capacity, and it is a, it's not a tough conversion, but it certainly can be for some people I know. But it is a kind of a mind blow whenever you do see those differences in how your body responds to a higher fat and protein based diet. And the biggest one I noticed, to be honest, Heather, is mental clarity, right? Like some days, and this will maybe sound crazy to some people, but if you haven't heard of Bulletproof Coffee, look it up. Some mornings I'll just rock Bulletproof Coffee and it'll be like I'm on some prescription mental clarity drug. Like, it's incredible, right? How the brain and the body respond to these nutrients that, as you said, you know, from an ancestral or evolutionary, whatever you want to call it, basis, we've been keyed on for a very long time. We've just kind of taken ourselves away from that really in the last century, right? And that's it.
Yeah. And it's a great point, Adam, that a lot of people don't realize how rocked their energy levels are by these free and easy carbohydrates. Because just as you mentioned, for a lot of people, they don't wake up in the morning with mental clarity, and they sure as shit don't feel like they have mental clarity after they eat breakfast. Instead, people will usually eat a lot of free and easy carbohydrates, which I consider to be a lot of our grain-based foods, and they get a sharp rise in their blood sugar that makes them feel kind of alert and like kind of like a kid with a bunch of candy in their system. But then shortly thereafter, they have a crash, and our brain is so sensitive to our glucose levels that you start to feel cranky, you start to feel dumb, you start to feel lethargic. And it's literally because your brain is saying, I don't have enough sugar. And so you can imagine how it's such an advantage for people to get their body much more accustomed to a higher fat nutrition plan, and then they don't ride that blood sugar roller coaster all the time.
Yeah. And so long story short, it's not just better for backcountry performance and nutrition, it's better for day-to-day performance and nutrition.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where the Heather's Choice meals came from, was an extension of the healthy food that I was eating day-to-day at home, but then just wanting to have that level of quality when it really mattered, just when I was out hiking around with a 60-pound pack or whatever. So you guys can see how this is not just for the backcountry trips that you're going on, but this is also a nutrition plan or a nutrition philosophy that is going to serve you when you're in the front country as well.
And a very important point is that also that when I asked you, you know, kind of the why behind the company Heather's Choice, I think we've very well covered here why there was a need for the products you've produced. But I think it's a really important point to bring up that it's based on experience, right? We're not talking about somebody that, and all due respect to all the CrossFitters that listen to this, but we're not talking about somebody with, you know, high socks, tattoos, and, you know, doing an AMRAP today. We're talking about somebody who actually, you know, put 60 pounds on their back and goes out for serious distance in gnarly country. And that was your proving ground, right, for your meals.
Yeah, for sure. And it's crazy to me to see how we have a bunch of folks like myself that were really geeked on CrossFit and still am. And it's great to be physically training and to be eating paleo. But something like hunting or something like backpacking is really an opportunity to go out and field test this stuff and see, like, does my nutrition plan really work for me? Is my training really serving me well? So that's what I like about Heather's Choice, is it's always an opportunity for me to really be testing my nutrition plan and my training protocol and see, like, all right, is this actually working? Am I actually getting the performance that I want? And do I genuinely feel healthy and strong when I'm out on these trips that I live for?
Yeah. Well, and if you want to live quote unquote primal, then you better get out and be primal, right?
Yeah. Go hunt and gather some of your own food.
Go hunt and gather something and then come talk to me. Right.
Yeah.
So anyways, I can rant about that stuff ad nauseum. Let's shift course here a little bit. And I want to talk about your big news that you have going on. You are in the midst of it right now, but November 16th, you launched a Kickstarter campaign to take Heather's Choice to a whole new level. So why don't you give us a bit of background on the why behind the Kickstarter campaign and what your plans are, which is obviously related to the why, but what your plans are for Heather's Choice in the future, because I think it's very exciting for me as an obvious supporter of your company and your products, from the standpoint of wanting to see it do well and grow to become a household name, because it should, in my opinion, but also because of some of the more, let's call it granular things you're working on to make the products that much more backcountry friendly.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, on November 16th, we launched our first Kickstarter campaign, and we are literally just over a year old. And so over the last year, I've been learning, you know, the ins and outs of manufacturing, and it's more than just cranking out a couple of recipes. But one of the biggest hurdles that we've run into is finding our perfected packaging. And so I've been working really hard over the last year to figure out, okay, what size bags do we need? You know, what size gusset should they have? Do they have a zipper? Like, what's going to make our perfect packaging? So after about a year and a half of field testing, we figured out that having 6-inch tall by about 6-inch wide zipper stand-up pouches is kind of the perfect size for a backcountry meal. And again, this is going to be almost half the size of any other freeze-dried meal that you're going to see on the market. So by having these nice small packages, we're going to be definitely very attractive to anybody who's really focusing on having a lightweight or a small enough bag to go on a multi-day, let's say 7 to 10 day trip. But then also the big thing for me is the eating experience. I've always wanted to have these short custom made bags so that you can eat from the bag with a regular size spork without having to shove your whole hand into the package when you're eating in the backcountry, because that is straight up dangerous when you're in bear country, right? That's one of the big things for me, is just wanting to have the perfect product. And to me, the perfect product is going to be the smallest packaging possible that is really nice and short, so that you can simply pour hot water into the bag, let it sit for 20 minutes, open it back up, and you essentially have a bowl to eat out of. And then all you have to do is haul that out of the backcountry, which having less packaging means there's less packaging going into our landfills too. So
right,
until I can find somebody that's going to make me a compostable Mylar lined bag, we're going to be striving to have the smallest packaging that we possibly can to really cut down on our footprint as well. So with a deal with this Kickstarter campaign is I'm raising $48,000 to pre-purchase my 75,000 pre-printed custom size bags.
That's a lot of bags.
It's a lot. I can't even visualize how much space these bags are going to take up, but you guys can imagine that no packaging company is really going to take you seriously unless you're meeting their minimums. So I'm at a crossroads in my business where, you know, we want to make a really big, substantial, important change and improvement to our product, but I'm really looking to the backcountry community to help support us making this investment by basically pre-ordering their meals for 2016 by making a pledge to our Kickstarter campaign. So anybody who's not familiar with Kickstarter, it's a crowdfunding website where you put up a project and you have reward tiers where people can make a pledge anywhere from $5 to $5,000, and then they get to select what reward they want in exchange for their pledge. So we literally have everything on the Heather's Choice Kickstarter, from a sticker for $5 to, for $5,000, I will show you the time of your life here in Alaska for a weekend and fly you up here and take you rafting and feed you a bunch of good food for a weekend. So there's a lot of different rewards that people can select from in exchange for making a pledge to our campaign and helping us make this really big improvement to our products.
Awesome. And I mean, and that's such a key point, right? Is if a person's never pledged or funded, as it were, through one of these crowdfunding platforms, it's not like, at least in this case, it's not like you're just giving your money away, right? You're going to get something back. And sure, you know, for $5, it's going to be, I think you said it was a sticker, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for $5, sure, you get a sticker. At least one can do that. But if you go up a few notches, you're going to get into actual meals, right? Like you're going to get something back for that pledge. So if there's anyone that's listening that's maybe on the fence about trying the products or has been happy with their Mountain House, I honestly say just give Heather's Choice Meals a try. And in so doing right now, you'll be helping obviously get you to that goal. And I could not believe more strongly in the fact that Heather's Choice, the company, and I think I said this earlier, but I'll say it again, certainly should become a household name. These are the kind of nutrients backcountry enthusiasts, that's not just hunters, but especially hunters, but certainly backcountry enthusiasts need to incorporate into their diets day to day, period. But certainly when it comes to, you know, sort of extreme backcountry pursuits, those 5 to 10 day or longer pursuits where you are in very harsh environments, taking our bodies to exertion levels that it never experiences on a day to day basis, right? Your nutrient plan, your meal plan has to be absolutely front and center of your planning, and your meals should be in that discussion, Heather.
Yeah, thanks for that. I think you made a great point in the article that you wrote about us earlier this year of how people focus a lot on their gear, but in all reality, 80% of your performance is going to be related to the food that you're eating. So if you're not planning ahead and really strategizing your nutrition plan for these big trips, you're really doing yourself a disservice. And so I hope that Heather's Choice can at least help, if not completely take care of that piece of the puzzle for you, because people do train hard and they make a lot of plans for these big expeditions. So any way that I can help is going to be awesome on my end.
Nice, nice. And so how can they get involved? How can they get involved with Kickstarter?
Yeah, so hopefully all of the information that Adam and I have talked about today has been really informational and useful to you guys. And so if you're inspired and you want to help out a small Alaskan business looking to really go global, then you can head on over to heatherschoice.com/Kickstarter and make a pledge. And honestly, the most popular pledge has actually been $1,000, because you'll get an expedition box, which is a 10-day supply of Heather's Choice. So you get breakfast, you get snacks, you get dinners. And we have a ton of guiding services up here in Alaska that have been jumping all over that pledge amount, which has been fantastic for us. And we're super excited to be providing people with all of their healthy and delicious, sustainably sourced meals for the 2016 camping and hunting season.
Nice, nice. Now, before you go, Heather, there's a couple things I want to dive in on relative to some more interesting personal events you've been involved with lately. So, but before we go there, what are the various levels available on Kickstarter for people?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have $5, you're able to get a sticker, and absolutely, we're going to be super grateful for you even visiting the campaign page. Like anybody from this podcast that goes over to our website, like, thank you. And then we also have t-shirts. We have an unreleased meal, which is our Ethiopian Dorawat. We have a 1-day supply. We have a Heather's Choice supporter pack where you get the sticker, the shirt, the 1-day supply, and more. Our 3-day supply for a long weekend is 3 dinners, 3 breakfasts, 3 snacks. And we also have our Packaroon sampler. So if you're just looking to give a really great gift to somebody and they're maybe not going on a lot of backcountry trips, our Packaroons are great just for, you know, when you're sitting at the office or when you're on a road trip as well. Like I mentioned before, we have our expedition box, which will get you a 10-day supply, and that'll feed you for a nice long trip. And then up from that, we have a $2,500 trip to Alaska for one, or a $5,000 trip to Alaska for two, which, I kid you not, I'm really excited to see the folks who take advantage of that reward tier, because man, Alaska is such a beautiful place, and to be able to invite people to come up here and experience it with us is a pretty cool thing to offer. So like I said before, that's going to be really fun and exciting to see who takes advantage of that offer.
Yeah, it's a really cool one. When I went through it and made my pledge, I thought, what a great idea to offer those two trips, right? The trip for one and the trip for two. It's so representative of you and your brand, Heather. I thought it was pretty cool.
Thanks.
Okay, so let's change course again. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you were on your first successful hunt Was that your first hunt period or your first successful hunt?
One and only. So my first hunt and my first successful, thankfully.
Wow. Batting 1,000. That's, trust me, that does not always happen.
Absolutely. So up here in Alaska, we have the fortunate benefit of friends with boats, and we have access to just incredible remote wilderness areas. So I was fortunate enough to go on actually a black-tailed deer hunt this fall, where we took a boat out of Prince William Sound and headed out to Eleanor Island. But we basically took a boat 60 miles out to this island that's no more than 3 miles long. And we were there for 3 days hunting for blacktail. And it just so happened that we were dropped off at the top of the island and we're going to just walk our way back to the bottom of the island where we were camping. And I was with my boyfriend, Brad. And of course, he was the marksman and I was playing scout. But we came up on a buck and we spooked him right away and we're super bummed. We thought we'd lost him. And so we spent 45 minutes looking for him. And then we came around this little hill and sat down for a snack break and looked up, and sure as shit, there he was, just bedded down looking right at us. So we were fortunate enough to get a nice clean shot on him. And then you can imagine the 2.5 mile haul back to camp. It was about a 4-hour expedition. And I kid you not, like, that to me was the epitome of why I eat healthy and why I exercise as frequently as I do, because there is not much that is more challenging than carrying, you know, 100 pounds of dead weight out of the backcountry.
Preach on.
Yeah, it was absolutely incredible. So, you know, one of my favorite parts of the whole experience was definitely, you know, carrying this deer over my shoulders all the way back to camp and, you know, celebrating really big time with the people that we were out there with. But I also made a point to bring the liver back with us, and we now have deer liver that we're incorporating in with our burger meat. So that's one more, like, nutritional powerhouse that we're incorporating into our menu all the time. So the whole experience was absolutely incredible. And not only did we come out with a deer, we also got 100 pounds of halibut, 5 shrimp pots, more blueberries than I can even stand for the winter. And so it was definitely a full-blown Alaskan hunter-gatherer experience.
Amazing. Amazing. Like I said earlier, you want to get primal. Let's get primal, right?
Yeah.
I would say that's a pretty all-around hunter-gatherer, forager, whatever you want to call it, primal experience. But tell me a little bit about it. I mean, this is obviously your first time involved in a kill. And, you know, as the name of this podcast suggests, I believe very strongly in the fact that the killing part of hunting is such a small part of why we do it. But how was that experience for you? I mean, obviously, as you just said, it was awesome, but you get a little bit more, you know, sort of deep on it. What surprised you, I guess? Maybe that's the better question. What surprised you about the experience that was so, so interesting?
Yeah, I would say that the most surprising part of it was just the amount of patience and then the amount of effort it was to get that thing out of there. Because we always talk about going moose hunting, which I have yet to do, unfortunately. But man, now I am definitely thinking twice about signing up for a moose hunt, because I now recognize how much effort and how difficult it is to actually bring that meat home. And that's something that I've heard from other folks, you know, joking around about, oh, well, that meat probably cost you $40 a pound because you had to pay for the boat ride out there and you have to pay for the gear and you take 3 days off from work, whatever. But the whole experience is so rich and there's so much to it. There's so much going on. And there's so much to gain that it doesn't matter how much it ends up costing you in the end. It's definitely a unique and enriching experience in my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I would say you're preaching to a very biased audience on this podcast, but yeah, no, that's...
I don't have to tell you guys twice to go...
Yeah, no, certainly not. Trips. But it is, I mean, the point remains that as the owner of a backcountry meal company, you've now checked the box of officially stepping into the food chain, like we like to say. So congratulations on your first hunting experience.
Yeah, thanks so much. Maybe I'll be singing a different tune when we get back from sheep hunting next summer. I think that will be a real humbling experience for this girl, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, and so you and your boyfriend are putting in for a draw there in Alaska. Is that right?
Oh yeah, we've got all kinds of permits in, so now we just have to hurry up and wait, because it'd be nice to get a moose, and it would sure as shit be nice to get some sheep next summer. So you can imagine that summer in Alaska, we are busy hunting and fishing and picking berries and gardening and all that jazz.
Sounds awesome.
3 short months to do it.
Yeah, no, it sounds awesome. And I will definitely want to bring you back on after that hunt, success or no success. And yeah, and that's not even a very accurate way to put it, because even if you come out quote unquote empty handed in the meat sense, you will not come out empty handed in the experience sense. Like you said, I mean, every hunting experience is a rich experience. And whether that's because it's a learning experience or successful in the very real way of bringing meat back. But I will definitely want to talk to you after that experience.
That sounds great. Well, yeah, I look forward to, you know, providing your readers and your listeners with more nutritional information via the blog and any other way that I can help out, because the Journal of Mountain Hunting has proven to be definitely one of our biggest supporters, you know, our first year in business. So thanks to you, Adam.
It was my pleasure, Heather. And as I've said before, you know, offline and unofficially, and I'll go on record right now, is in my opinion, there is not a better backcountry meal option out there. And supporting good people trying to do the right things for the right reasons is easy, right? So to me, it's a no-brainer that not only I would support it, that our readership and now our listenership could and should support it, in my opinion. And I really hope that we can be a part of getting you to that Kickstarter goal and making Heather's Choice a household name in 2016.
Yeah, big goals.
Yeah, big goals are good. Big goals are good. Anyways, okay, so just to cap it off then, let's just go back through the various ways people can find out more about Heather's Choice. So what are their options?
Yeah, absolutely. So first things first, you can find us at heatherschoice.com. That's where you can order, and I try to post blogs and specials, and you definitely want to subscribe to our newsletter for exclusive deals. But the biggest way that you guys can show your support right now is to head over to heatherschoice.com/Kickstarter and to make a pledge. And honestly, it's going to mean the world to me when this Kickstarter is successful, because it is going to make it possible for us to start looking at bigger retailers like your REIs or local gear shops closer to where you guys are. Because right now everything is basically shipped to your door, but I'd like to make it to where you can head over to your local shop and pick up Heather's Choice meals for all your trips.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. And the Kickstarter campaign runs till when?
Yeah. So our Kickstarter is going to run till December 21st, and we have to hit our goal of $48,000 to get any of the funding. So you can imagine this holiday season feels like one big gamble for this girl.
Bet big, right? Go big or go home.
Go big or go home. Exactly.
And right now, Heather, you're a third of the way there. Is that correct?
Yep, exactly.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, to everyone listening, let's help Heather get there. I've made my pledge. I think a lot of our readers of the Journal of Mountain Hunting have certainly made their pledge. But in case someone that is a journal reader or subscriber is only hearing about this right now on the podcast, Heather's a great person to support, number one, and a great company to support, number two. So let's get her to that goal and make 2016 her best year yet.
Yeah.
All right, Heather, thanks so much for taking the time. I know you're crazy busy right now, so good luck. Dive back into your Kickstarter campaign, and I'm sure we'll chat soon. Thank you for tuning in to episode 2 of BeyondTheKill.fm. Hope you enjoyed the show, and more importantly, learned something you can apply in the field or even right away at home. For show notes and links, go to www.journalofmountainhunting.com and click on the podcast tab. If you can spare a few moments, I'd sincerely appreciate it if you could write a quick review in iTunes. Your feedback means a lot and helps us get the show in front of more people. Episode 3 will go live in 2 weeks with my guest, Aaron Davidson, the CEO of Gunworks. Aaron is absolutely unparalleled in his knowledge and expertise on the topics of ballistics, ballistic science, and rifle design and engineering. We go deep on the ethics of long-range hunting, and I can promise you, whatever your opinion is on this contentious topic, you will want to hear this episode. Until then, stay safe, shoot straight, and I'll see you in 2 weeks.